I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty you, real.
He is terrible!
We gotta know how many wieners are going down these big stones.
I'm gonna go quick, because I don't give a fuck about anything that's gonna happen on Saturday.
Hello, boys! We are back with another edition of the MMA Analysis Podcast. We continue going. We've been going, well, almost as long as Habib keeps winning. And that keeps chugging along. We'll keep going as long as he keeps chugging along. We have the usual suspects back this week. We have everybody's peach fuzz, can't grow facial hair sometimes. So young, the Canadian teenager, the man at the largest mall. He is the mall rat of Canada, Nushon. We of course have the man from Kentucky. Sometimes you might see him in Indiana, you know, placing some legal sports bets now that they got the legal sports betting going on over there. Everybody's horse whisperer, the Sodsman, Wes Colvin. Boys, how are you on this September evening?
I feel like you've upped your intro game lately, yeah. Jay. It's you're coming with the fire right off the hop. It's good stuff.
those miles he's putting on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. It's giving me the energy to do these kind of things.
I know I harp on it every once in a while, but the East Coast time zone is absolute bullshit. So I'm out.
Wait a second. What's going on here?
I'm out in Toronto this week for work, and I'm trying to watch Monday Night Football, the doubleheader. The second game finished up at like what, 1:30, something like that. Like,
yeah, that's me? But on Sundays when we're watching football at 1 and y'all are up at fucking like 8 a.m. trying to get all your shit in.
Mountain time zone. I'm up at start watching at 11 o'clock.
Try watching European soccer.
That's the thing that's fucked. European soccer.
I will give you that. I wish I was in about Bouton or something. Just like a couple hours extra, you know. I think that's about perfect.
Or you're still working when like all the, or you're working all the time when the weekday sports are going on.
Not really. I mean, it depends how late you work. I mean, when I'm at home, I'm off work at 4:30. I'm ready at home at 5 o'clock for when the Blue Jays start playing.
Can't say the same.
we're not the late night, hardworking man like you, Jay.
We wouldn't expect that from you, Canadians. You know? all those government rights. I mean, there's no reason to work. So you just, you know, you work on government time.
God bless socialism.
There you go. All right, Wes, how are things down there? I understand you're making the trips. You got Indiana on the horizon. You could do what I've been doing in for the last year. I guess that's a good feeling.
Yeah. It's just kind of cool. Figure I got to go do it a little bit just to, you know, do the deal.
See what it's like.
Yeah. I mean,
it's easy to collect the money that way. I mean, as opposed to, you know, it's instantaneous.
Yeah. I mean, we all have our probably better outs and stuff. You know, we've been doing this long enough and shit, but yeah, it's pretty cool. It's getting legal and, gonna go doing a little opening tomorrow, so I'm gonna go check it out. And I'm not going to the casino boat because they're doing some kind of massive opening, but I'm going to the fucking OTB, which is should be a little bit more rednecky but a lot less people. So we're gonna
you can do sports betting at the OTB too.
Yeah, they're opening up.
Oh,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're gonna here. Yeah, you'll be able to do that at any of the OTBs in Indiana and all that good stuff. So yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Times they're changing. All us degenerate Kentuckians continue to go across the bridge and give all our money to the Hoosier State and they can have the nice roads and the good schools, and we'll continue to be dumb and driving potholes over there. So
and be good at basketball. So you got that.
Yeah, they they've been down for a while.
Twice a century good at football. Yeah,
you know they're a little lesser over there in Indiana, especially when they're carrying the name of Wes. New Sharker.
Yeah, well, this was an interesting week in MMA. I guess we'll start off with what I think is the bigger story. I know, Wes, I know you have something to say about this. This is dear and near to your heart. But there's an announcement earlier this week that Access HDNet was being acquired by, I think there's a company called Anthem Sports. I think, Nushon, you're familiar with them. They own Fight Network.
Yeah, that's who they own. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. And Wes, if, I think you mentioned it earlier. So now it's your understanding. I think they announced this is their last MMA show on that network. What is going on?
Well, that's what they're saying now. The chick that does the announcing on the LFA card and stuff said it's their last show. Some people saying now that since that company owns the Fight Network and stuff, that they might do MMA, but that doesn't sound reasonable to me. They're not buying this to front the production costs and all this shit to run an LFA card. You know what I'm saying?
They don't want to be on the like regional MMA.
They're buying this for the property rights, the TV channel. You know what I'm saying? Like they're looking for a deal for, I believe, a wrestling, a TV deal for a wrestling company. Pro wrestling company. I'm not positive about that, but I think that's what I was reading. So they're buying this because they couldn't get the TV deal, the channel. So they just came in and bought the fucking channel. It's kind of, it's just going to be another end of the era, man. It seems like all this stuff is getting kind of condensed down to one company and,
I would say two.
A couple companies now, but if you got into MMA around Tough, the first season of Tough, you know, you call you a Tough noob, which you kind of really aren't anymore. You've been around the sport for a really long time if you started watching MMA around Tough, and that's kind of when. You know, a few years before that, HD Net, man, there's a lot of guys that wouldn't be as big as they were, man. I mean, Eddie Alvarez sticks out big time of that. But, I mean, all the Japanese MMA that was on there, I mean, people forget that.
The Dream, right?
Yeah, Dream, that was it. Sengoku, Dream, that was all an HD Net property. The people don't even really remember that the K1 heavyweight Grand Prix were literally mm-hmm. broadcast on HD Net. That was the American broadcast partner for pretty much the biggest heavyweight kickboxing tournaments, you know, that you could get at that time, man. So it's kind of wild, man. And even outside of that, how WC's like after like their fifth or sixth show, that was like HD Net's one of their very first MMA cards. They got their big start on HD Net. WC did. That's how they got big. King of the Cage, all that stuff played on there. And then present day, I mean, Friday nights is pretty much Axis fights. I mean, we don't even call it like by the MMA promotion that's on there. We just pretty much say Axis fights on Friday night. It's going to be different, man. It sucks. A lot of people's going to lose their jobs. That's the channel's going to go away. I'm hoping that I would think that somebody like Fight Pass or somebody's going to pick up the LFA stuff. Like that's about the best regional stuff you get now, them and maybe CES, I guess. But LFA pretty much had all the
Fury maybe.
Well, LFA literally had, that was RFA too. And they merged it.
Right.
That was definitely the first. They have the legit fucking regional talent on that show. You know, I'm like,
yeah, they're the pipeline to the UFC.
Yeah, Ed Suarez is pretty much involved with them, and you know, he pipelines all his Brazilians and all that stuff go through that show. So it's still a valuable commodity in MMA, in my opinion. hopefully they keep that around. Maybe Fight Pass picks it up. But yeah, it's going to be weird, man. It's about 15 years. Hell, they've been doing Friday night fights on Axis for a good decade now. And like I said, there's been a lot of legitimate guys that's come off those shows, man. So it's going to be a change. Like I said, I hate that it's getting kind of, you know, condensed down like it is, man. It's weird places this, MMA is getting now, man. It's just, I don't know. There's a lot of more money in it, but just on the business side, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not trickling down to fighters. But there is definitely, there's these companies that are buying shit, buying properties up. I guess you see it in other forms of business all the time, but, MMA is an entertainment property, is literally, it's being bought up and swallowed up. So I guess it's just the sign of the times.
I'll ask you guys this question because I'm curious to hear what your answer is. Assuming the UFC is still the world's number one promotion in 2025, what is the second most, or what will be the number two promotion in the world at that time?
Right now, present day?
No, in 2025. So 5 years from now.
5-6 years, yeah.
I mean, you got to say Bellator. It's like they're never going to die. Like, they just have
too
much.
They just keep pumping that fucking Viacom money into Bellator. They don't give a fuck. Yep. Like, I don't know how much. Like, they cannot be making money whatsoever.
They actually do. They're all that. Some of their financials came out during that lawsuit and shit that's been going on with the UFC. Some of Bellator's financial statements came out because part of that lawsuit is with the Eddie Alvarez stuff and that was in it. And Bellator, actually, they don't make a huge profit. I think they were saying it was like $27, $30 million or something like that. But that's in profits. You know what I'm saying? And
that's a lot more than I expected. That's for damn sure.
Yep. So they're actually
the dumbass things they do.
Yeah. And the money they give to certain people and shit. But it apparently has worked because they actually do turn a profit. It's not a major profit, but it works. You know, what Scott Coker does works, and they're not in the red. So that's something. And with the Viacom money that they can go out and buy guys here and there that they want. Like, I mean, when they want somebody, they go get them. Like, Cyborg got released and they had her signed within a week, you know, so. Bellator will be around in 2025. There's just way too much money backing them, and probably always will be. I think the better promotion could be World Series of Fighting, but PFL. PFL now, yeah. But I'm not sure that model's gonna work, and they have the back. I know the ESPN deal. I'm sure did a lot for them to stabilize them as a company, but I'm not completely sold on that last. And I think it's a better concept, and they probably got, I don't know, the talent pretty close to the same, but I like what they're doing. I'm not sure they're going to have the money to handing out millions of dollars every year to, you know, I don't know if that's financially viable to the future, but Bellator's not going to go anywhere until Viacom's just hired them, like, fuck it. And it'll be completely gone. You know, I don't see it though.
Nushon, thoughts on that question?
Yeah, it's hard to see anybody else kind of taking the second place mantle there. I don't know. Like, if we're talking worldwide,
yes,
I don't know. Maybe
one's got a chance.
Maybe
one
continues on. We'll see. They got an upcoming fight card that's going on TNT. So we'll see how that does. I mean, you never know. Asian MMA kind of seems to be on a resurgence. So it could maybe sneak into that second spot, but it's hard to see that. Just, I mean, it's hard to see that just as a person in North America. We're just so kind of narrow-minded when it comes to that stuff, and it's also hard to take one seriously with kind of the bullshit that they spew, and nobody really fact checks them. So what else he's supposed
wild
to do.
Is, you know, one says they get all these numbers, and it's kind of crazy that, like, Combat America is actually doing, like, big numbers.
Combate?
Yeah, and we just don't.
I believe it when I see it.
Well, they're doing like a couple million viewers in Mexico and shit, which I believe that. It's still not, even if it is or not true, it's still not translating up here. You know what I'm saying? In North America, which is, it kind of, that's what makes the engine run. You know, if you're not selling, that's the thing with one. It's like they could be putting on great cards and doing all this. If it's not being shown at a decent time in America consistently and having cards in America, I mean, some people are just never going to care about it. You know, like, I mean, you got to be
a lot of people are not really.
Yeah,
care about
you're pretty hardcore if you're watching MMA anywhere between fucking, you know, 3 a.m. or 8 in the morning and shit like that.
Or just an absolute idiot. Yeah, one
or
the other.
One airs, you know, and like they're not going to like switch their cars to where they're playing. They're having live cards at 8 a.m. for the live audience. They're never going to do that. So I like a lot of what Risen does. I think they put on great mixed cards with kickboxing and good MMA. They have some really good fighters over, some killers. That shit's never going to catch on big in North America. And that's what makes it. It's what makes the engine.
I don't know if it has to, though.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to for them people over there. They could probably care less. You know what I'm saying? But
that's exactly right.
The guys running it, you know, if you got a, you know, something like Risen that's doing decent numbers in Japan and they're making a little bit of money, those guys want to make more money. You know what I'm saying? They would love for their shit to hit in America. You know, it's not like they don't want it to. It's just how much are these other companies financially viable? For how long can they stay going if they don't have that worldwide money coming in? Not just us. I mean, there's fight fans in Europe and, you know, but yeah, we'll see. It's a good question.
I think the answer is probably one, to be honest with you. They seem to have a pretty good business model. Their cards are pretty highly attended. They've been able to bring over some established fighters from particularly the UFC, but also some from Bellator as well. And they've started making a little bit of their own talent as well. I mean, candidly, I don't really watch it but I've really kind of pulled away from my interest in, or just my watching, like just like the time I spend watching MMA outside of the UFC, just because candidly, I'm not sure how much any of that other stuff matters. It's just hard to watch the other orgs when it's like, well, you're the champion of that or like a top contender of that. But ultimately that makes you like sometimes like the 17th best fighter in the world. Like how much can I care?
I mean, even there's some shit UFC cards. Yeah, never mind that. And then we're looking.
The hierarchy and the story makes more sense though.
No, I know, but I mean,
you have access to the top prize.
You grit your teeth through some of these shitty UFC cards, yeah. And then you're basically doing the same thing with these other promotions, but they don't even have anywhere near the top-end talent, so it's a bit of a struggle.
It's like watching Thursday night football sometimes, okay?
Yeah, Thursday night's usually trash.
It used to be, I get it, used to be a whole lot better for the novelty of it because... Your UFC was only on every fucking couple months, so you was like, hell yeah, I'll check out this other stuff. I get why some people can't get it, you know.
Or even after, just because maybe the UFC only had 300 fighters or 400 fighters, and now it's got 600, and it's just, so there's still higher end talent, more important talent outside, but it's just not there. But I just think one's business plan is really good, and they're getting pretty significant viewership throughout Asia. It's not just isolated to one country or one small region. It's, you know, they're doing events all over Asia. So I think they have something good going on there, and I don't really see, you know, them falling apart any time in the near future. So unlike Bellator, which I still think is very flawed. I think Viacom as a business is going to be in trouble. Eventually, someone's probably going to buy them, and then what happens to that piece of their business?
Yeah, they might tighten the strings.
I think Bellator's actually got a very good business model, personally.
But Bellator is
it works
tied into Viacom, and how good is Viacom's business model? So,
that's a whole nother story for sure.
I mean, look how far behind they are in the streaming game. So we'll see what happens, but that's one thing. And then, of course, we got an expanded UFC 244 card coming out in November in my neck of the woods, the Madison Square Garden. So these are the fights that – here are some of the fights that are announced. Obviously, you have the main event of Masvidal and Nate Diaz, which – supposedly now The Rock's going to be involved with some sort of non-existent belt they're going to give out.
Oh, it's going to exist.
What the hell is that thing going to look
They're
going
to make it. Oh, as long as it looks better than the money belt that they made for fucking McGregor
Then you got a co-main event of Gastelum and Till. That should be entertaining for as long as it lasts. The fight I'm really excited about, though, is Stephen Thompson and Vicente Luque. That should be fireworks. Derek Lewis and Ivanov, that'll be a heavyweight banger.
Johnny Walker.
I heard Johnny Walker's got some shoulder problems, though, and I heard doesn't have full mobility, so that's something to watch out for if that fight actually ultimately happens versus Corey Anderson. Julio Arce versus Hakeem Dawodu should be a striking exchange.
Jotko and fucking Edmund.
Undefeated Edmund?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Still undefeated and just wrecking people. Big fight for him. And just announced today, and this should be good, Arlovsky versus my boy Jair Zinho Rosenstruik.
Oh,
that
my
guy's
God.
Been a killer.
He's going to kill Arlovsky.
He's going to kill Arlovsky.
This guy's not going to be afraid to strike. Yeah. The only way Arlovsky beat – yeah, well, that we'll get to that in a future card. But this is going to be one of the best cards of the year.
Yeah, the main card is just
it'll be fun.
Even though you got Derek, at least they're gonna put Derek Lewis. They'll put a fight that's gonna probably have like I'd say a total of like 7 significant strikes landing in it. At least they put it like in the middle so we can like get.
Yeah, but
fucking,
some you'll eventually get.
Are you talking about Mukwege and Jennifer Maia?
No, he's talking about fucking Black Beast versus Ivanov.
I mean that's gonna be like 7 strikes total landed in that old motherfucker.
Very high chance that goes to a decision. You probably have plus money.
Yeah. That main card is just ridiculous, man. I'm glad to see that Luque is getting a guy that he's actually finally getting a name. It's a tough fight for him though. I think it's a pretty tough fight for Luque. But that card's just ridiculous, man. It's still all about that main event though. Like I love that Nate and Jorge is getting that spot, man. Jorge said something I think yesterday. He was like, said y'all's heads are gonna explode when y'all see the check. I was like, good. I'm fucking happy. They apparently opened up the checkbook for those dudes, and they deserve it. Both of them do. That's a massive fight. Massive.
Just happy the UFC didn't fuck this up. They tried. It seemed like they tried their darndest to fuck this up. But
they tried to give him Usman or some shit, didn't they?
Yeah. They wanted fucking Usman versus Colby, and they were basically just sticking it to Colby. Because that's what you do with a guy that moves the numbers. You give him an offer and don't give him any fucking flexibility. Yeah. And so
needle
Colby
movers
was,
don't get treated like that.
Yeah. So Colby said, fuck you. And then they're trying to make Usman Masvidal and get the fuck out of here. So anyway, Diaz Masvidal, happy the UFC didn't fuck this up. It's good to see that they finally are kind of, I mean, I don't know if this is just going to be a one-time thing, but them just going a little bit outside the box. Usually they're just so stringent on what they do. It has to be a title fight for a pay-per-view and just not putting on certain fights that everybody wants to see. And it was just too easy to make. So that's going to be a hell of a fight. It's less than 2 months away too. So it's going to be here before you know it. And I'm fucking pumped.
Yeah. Well, we knew you'd
that's
be.
That's awesome. I will say on the whole fucking Kobe thing, the dude's gonna get what he deserves. Like it, that shit's gonna get you so far, then you're gonna get what you deserve. And you're gonna
he's gonna get kicked out of his gym. Nobody wants to fucking train with this dude anymore.
Hey man, I'm telling you, like the Dustin Poirier is a real motherfucker, man. Go listen to what Dustin Poirier said when asked about Kobe Covington. That's a real motherfucker right there. Like Dustin pretty much like, I'll never fight Jorge. You know, we're real friends. I'm not gonna turn on somebody that I've trained with for a fucking a decade. When somebody comes with a check, you know what I'm saying? And I can relate, man. I can relate. Kobe's one of those guys that would sell out his fucking family for a fucking check and a title shot.
Yeah. We'll talk about Dustin momentarily. in the meantime, we'll discuss the rest of the UFC 242 card and one of my favorite venues, Abu Dhabi.
120 degrees Fahrenheit.
According to Dom Cruz, yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with them, man?
Well, Brogan was smart. He's like, I don't want to go there. Yeah, no shit, you don't want to go there.
Cyborg wasn't fighting, so couldn't talk about her gassing the entire time. This heat's just killing her. Look at her, she can't breathe.
Well, that first fight was a real stinker on these prelims. Don Madge and Faris Ziam. I mean, neither of these guys look like they're capable of fighting the UFC, right, Wes?
Yeah, I don't really give a shit. Don't even care.
That's fair.
Yep.
I'll move on. Yep. And a fight between two journeymen. It looks like the younger guy, you know, got the job done. Omari Akhmedov beat Zach Cummings. Kind of like a middle-of-the-road kind of middleweight fight. Either of you have any thoughts on this one? I'll start with Wes.
I had a little bet on Omarion. I just don't. I don't know who's betting on Zach Cummings today. Him up at
middleweight.
185. Yeah,
middleweight.
Up at 185. That's just that's a waste of money, and there's no way that Omarion should have been -120 or whatever I got on him against Zach Cummings in 2019.
Not the only Muslim on this card, certainly, but one that is also named Muslim. we knew this was a possibility that this could happen, and it did. The elder statesman, he might have been the oldest fighter on this damn card, Nordin Taleb, KO'd. Badly.
Fuck is he doing?
I don't know.
Talk to your fellow Mook Canadian, okay?
He was like lifting to me. Wait.
He's actual French, so we're not claiming his ass, but
why did you guys vote to keep them in Canada anyway?
Oh, that's French. No, this guy's actually from France. He's not even French Canadian.
I thought he was French Canadian.
No, he's from France.
So why is he claiming to claim you guys?
Because they moved here. Yeah, he's from fucking Saint Tropez, France, wherever the fuck that is.
Oh, it's an island.
That's a vacation spot.
He's just gonna straight up strike at distance with fucking Salikov. Like, what are you doing? Especially with a chin like his. Like, he just absolutely deserve this. You gotta close the distance, grind on Salikov, try to get some takedowns. Nah, I'm gonna strike at distance. Idiot.
That's all that needs to be said about that one.
I agree. And what I thought might have been the easiest play on the entire card, Bilal Muhammad against Takashi Sato. There was no way Takashi Sato was. I kept calling him Takanori. I think I wrote in one of my articles, Takanori. Okay. I don't know why I kept doing that, but yeah. Bilal Muhammad with a rare finish in this fight, a rear naked choke submission. This fight was, you know, Sato's tailor made for him, I believe. Don't you think,
Wes? Yeah, that was. There's no way he was losing this fight here, man. And he he looked really good, man. Sato's not like, I mean, I wouldn't call him a straight can. He was pretty tough, but goddamn, Bilal put a beating on that dude like he fucking stole his wallet, man. That was, Bilal looked good. That guy's still a tough out, man.
Yeah, he is.
I think sometimes people like still underestimate him a little bit in certain spots. But fuck, man, we talked about it. He took some shit from, I believe it was Jeff Neal a couple fights ago, yeah, that would have ended most men. And I don't know how he stood upright for 15 minutes in that fight. But yeah, Blaw's a tough out for anybody at 170.
Just the tough thing with him is because he just doesn't usually finish. So
he has no power in his hand.
He has no power. And like, obviously his ground game isn't insane or anything. He doesn't have great takedowns. So he lets guys stick around in fights, yeah, and that, yeah, can be an issue. True. But that finish he had, that transition was so slick.
Yeah.
Like the way that he ended that fight was very, very nice. Just so clean.
He's well-rounded though. And
he's very well-rounded. It's just he needs
power. He's got
power.
A great motor too, but yeah, it's only so far you can go without any power. I mean, there's other guys in the UFC that have similar skill sets. And the skill set that he has can get you fairly far, but it's tough to get to win big fights when you don't have an end game, or potential to end anyone at any given moment. You really have to work. So that's a tough beat. For him, but a good win overall, and he'll continue to, you know, stick around. Moving up to the televised card, which is on FX. FX, yep. Card. Okay. Yeah.
Started off proper.
My man Ottoman, the Empire.
Yeah.
He took on Pack-a-Lunch, and well, this looked like a Mike Tyson versus some scrub in 1985. Man, this was a beatdown. Wes, how is Pack-a-Lunch still in this damn organization?
He's going to be retired soon.
Yeah, I don't know about after this, because fuck, he's packing his fucking, his central nervous system home.
He's packing soup for, you know, to go to the
That's legitimately just one of the nastiest knockouts you'll ever see. I mean, you could put that up against anything. That was nasty for a dude to be face down like that with his legs twitching. I mean, that's as nasty as it gets. He got
fucking knocked out twice. He got knocked out when the Ottoman Empire fucking smoked him in the side of the head and then smoked his jaw off the canvas so hard, man. Oh. Just so nasty.
You know when Shab is talking like it's a knockout he couldn't watch, you know it must be pretty good. Yeah, he's pretty well experienced in that regard on the receiving end.
Because Zaytar hit him like clean with a lot of power, like pretty much every time he threw. It was insane. I'm surprised it lasted even 3.5 minutes.
I mean, should we be impressed? Or, I mean, it's...
Yeah, we got to see him against...
Lunch. Yeah.
He passed the first test, but so what?
Yep, that's not what really you should do against Pack-a-Lunch.
This is more like a pop quiz, and they ask you, you know, what's your favorite color, and you tell them an answer, and anything could be correct. So,
yeah,
I get it. A catchweight with Cupcake. The Cupcake get a TKO?
Fucking brutal.
How is that possible?
Sarah Morass has cost me more money than any other chick on these fucking on my Go's Decision parlays and stuff like that.
I'm gonna fade her every damn fight.
She's decent, and the chick she's fighting is terrible. I mean,
yeah, she should stick to.
I just don't know what the hell that chick was doing. She was trying to like wrestle, even though she was a striker, and then Morass just like reversed her and then just smashed her. Good finish by her. Just could have just let it go for another 2.5 minutes. That'd have been super.
Yeah. The next fight, I don't know what the judges were thinking here.
Let's get to a few of them.
This is not good judging. Habib's homeboy, I don't know how he's even in the organization still. It must have been a side deal Habib made with Dana.
Well, he doesn't cost any money because he hasn't fought in like 4 years or whatever.
There's that Tukagov and something called Aroni Murphy. Somebody want to tell me how Tukugov didn't get his hand raised after this fight? Because I'm at a loss for words. How was this a draw?
It wasn't. This was fucking atrocious.
Where did they come up with a 28-28 scorecard?
I have no idea.
They gave Tukugov a 10-8, and then they gave Murphy the last two rounds.
But how?
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't win the second.
Some judge gave Murphy the fight. How?
Yeah, that was
rounds 2 and 3.
That was one of the worst cards. It's fucked up, man, because we see so many, but that's one of the worst cards you'll ever get, ever. Giving Murphy that fight, a win on any card, is just insanity, dude. Like, I don't even...
Six takedowns in this
fight. Yeah, I don't even know what we're doing anymore if you think Murphy won that fight. I don't even know what we're... I don't even know why we're... We should just fight till somebody finishes if that's what we're going to get in this sport. Like, straight up.
Two of the judges gave Murphy the second and third round.
That's insanity, man.
They said Tukugov landed 4 strikes in the second round. Murphy landed 14. They say in the third round, Tukugov landed 2 strikes. Is that impossible?
No.
And Murphy landed 27. I don't even know what the control time was, but it's probably significant.
I mean,
6 takedowns, 2 passes, reverse, whatever.
He was on top pretty much the entire fucking fight. The third round, Murphy probably got – it was still close. Like I said, man, if you think Murphy won that fight in any way, shape, or form, I don't know what we're doing anymore, man.
Regardless, not a great performance by old Tukugov.
Nah, he's a fade. Give me somebody decent. He's
the actually... only boy who's friends with Khabib that's a fade.
Yeah,
maybe. Was everyone but, I else mean, seems like an absolute
4-year layoff too. I'll give him a little bit.
That long?
Yeah, yep. It was like almost 4 years, and then before that, it was like a big layoff. Yeah, he just doesn't fight. So.
Oh my God! It was May 2016. Oh wow, 3.5 years.
Yeah, you got to fight more than that. I don't care how good you are. If you don't fight for 3.5 years. You're not.
I probably keep it. Confusing Tukugov with rusty cables. I think that's part of the
problem. Yeah.
And then the preliminary headliner, Joanne Calderwood, decision split over Andrea Lee. I think the judges got this right, but I'm curious.
It was close, man. I thought Lee won this fight. I mean, I was a little bit biased, so...
Calderwood landed 40 more strikes, but okay.
Yeah, Lee was landing some bigger stuff. I thought she controlled it more. It was close. I mean, like I said, I'm a little biased. Not overly. I didn't have, like, any kind of huge money on Andrea Lee or anything, but I thought she won the fight, man. I didn't agree with it, but whatever. Who really cares?
Sean, who won this fight?
Don't care. Yeah, I didn't even watch this one. I didn't give a shit enough.
Yeah, neither did anybody else. Let's move on to the pay-per-view. This one I nailed.
CDF, baby.
CDF.
Yeah, y'all got
he
that
might
one.
Be the best underdog bet in the UFC today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot.
Taisimov is a can crusher, and anytime he faces a little bit of adversity, he tires out. And the smart guy usually wins, and it's not Taisimov. That's the guy, Wes.
I don't think anybody was affected by the heat and shit there more than Taisimov, though. Like, he fucking completely hit a wall. Like, it was like 3 or 4 minutes into the first round. Like, he looked bad, like, quickly. But still, CDF, man. I even said it on the show that I'll probably regret it not taking him. I always bet him as a 2-to-1 dog against in these kind of fights. And, man, he did it again. Yeah, that guy's he's straight up one of the most underrated dudes on the betting lines consistently. And the guy just finds ways to get it done. And he did it again as a very nice dog. So, yeah, congrats to you two fellas.
Nushon, would you say that CDF has elite fight IQ?
It's pretty good. I don't know if it's just his fight IQ. I just think overall his game is just severely underrated. He's got I was impressed by his gas tank. Like he, with how hot it was there, and he threw a shit ton of strikes and was still fairly fresh in the third. He was able to take what Tyson Moss threw throughout the fight. He seemed like he has a pretty damn good chin, and he just has a good variety of strikes and combinations. He's just very, very underrated.
7-2 in the UFC now, has won 5 in a row. He has wins over Ohm, Jared Gordon, something called Kyle Nelson, Rusty Cables, and Tyson Moss. In addition to Ramsey Nijem and Cole Smith from yesterday, your only losses are to Poirier and Dariush.
That's pretty damn good.
Dog against Ohm, dog against Jordan.
Gordon for sure.
Dog against Rusty
K. Dog against Tyson Moss.
Yep.
That's 4 out of 5.
Yep, that's pretty sweet. Money train right there.
Yep. He's pretty good. And what may have been the biggest or second biggest mismatch of the night? I don't know. It's tough.
Now, there was a few.
Between Blades and Muhammad, it's tough to say what was a bigger mismatch. But Curtis Blades is just rolling people at this point. Wes, remember when – I know we've mentioned this a bunch of times in this show – but that China card, I think, or whatever card it was when they first debuted against each other, against him and Nagano, and we talked about, like, we were doing some Nostradamus-level shit, saying how these guys were going to face each other, like, multiple times down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are again. Curtis Blaze just dismantled Abdurakhimov. He's probably got the best ground and pound in the heavyweight division, which makes it arguably the best in the UFC. And he's what, second, third in the heavyweight division at this point in the rankings? I mean, and how old is Blades? I just want to look it up now. He's 28. So
prime.
He is 12-2 with 2 losses to the Hog. Okay.
Yep.
He's now won 4 of his last, technically there's a no contest against Milstead because he had a marijuana.
Yeah, nobody cares. He won.
On the
betting line, he won.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's 8-1 in his last 9 fights. TKO over Cody East. Remember that scrub?
Yep.
TKO over Adam Milstead. Decision over Daniel Olmelanchuk. TKO over Alexei Olenek. Decision over Hunt. TKO over Alex Overeem. Decision over Willis. TKO over Abdurakhimov. Pretty good body of work. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Needs maybe just another marquee fight for Blades. And then, the Stipe fight seems like it's out there. It could be out there.
Yeah, it's just hard to do that when he has 2 losses to the Hog, so it's tough to match him up. But there's not much more for him at heavyweight to get another shot.
Yeah, I think I think it's a very good possibility that the next time he fights, it's going to happen that he fights Ngannou again. I think it might be for a belt. There's a very good possibility, I think, that it's for a belt. And you're right. We talked about that. I even said it Saturday.
That was 2016, by the way, April of 2016.
Yeah.
That means Blades has fought now. Let me just see this. Looking at the number.
9 times in 3 years.
9 times.
He's
three,
active.
A little over 3 years for a heavyweight. That's pretty good.
Guy's really active. He's gotten really good too, man. There's just
10 times, actually. Yep.
Those guys are going to fight a couple more times. I think they end up fighting 4 or 5 times before it's over with. I'm telling you, they are the two best young heavyweights possibly on the planet, man. Like, Blades is really, really fucking good. If it wasn't for Ngannou running around this planet, Blades
would have already gotten a title. He already would have had a title shot.
He might be the champ, you know, because I think Blades might have matched up a little bit better with Stipe than Ngannou did the first time. Blades has some wrestling and shit to fall back on that I don't think Ngannou had at that time. Maybe he still doesn't have the level that Blades does, but
I would have loved to have seen Blades versus Daniel.
Yeah,
I would have been interested. I think it would have been an interesting fight.
I think Blades against most dudes outside of Ngannou is fairly interesting. I just think Ngannou's a really bad matchup for him, but that's not saying that Blades couldn't get him one time. You know, nope. I mean, it's very, very possible. I think he's great. I think him and Ngannou are the two best young heavyweights on the planet. And, man, we thought they would fight two or three times. I think they might end up fighting four or five times before it's all said and done. But you got to figure that if they keep fighting, those guys got a decade in them.
Let's see. I mean, you never know. But dude, there's
45-year-old heavyweights.
Guaranteed there will be a third one.
There's gonna be more. I'd say at least four. They'll fight two more times for sure, because I think they fight here fairly soon for a belt, and then we got 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Those guys are going to meet again. Hell, they might meet 10 years down the line on fucking Bellator playing on fucking whatever channel it's called then. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they're going to fight again. And they're great, man. I love me some Curtis Blaydes, man. That guy's really good. Like you said, the run he's on, take out the Ngannou rematch that he lost. Man, he's on a hell of a run. Probably should have KO'd Hunt too. I mean, he was putting the fucking beating on Hunt, so he should have just KOs over some, you know, decent competition.
This is your top 10 heavyweight. It's Stipe, Cormier, Ngannou, Blades, Dos Santos, Derek Lewis, Volkov, Overeem, Kane, who I think is off to do Lucha Libre.
He's done.
Kane's doing flips and shit and Mexican Lucha Libre. Why would he stay?
He's talking about, he's a star.
He might be a star in pro wrestling.
He's talking about getting a WWE contract and shit. Now, he's going to be a star. I'm telling you, he's got a Mexican fan base. It's insane, dude. It's crazy.
Dude, he could do Lucha Libre because he's so big that he'll probably be beloved. Anyway, Blagoy Ivanov, and then you got your boy Abdurkhimov then at 10. I mean, there's not much there. I mean, who else? I mean,
God, Hardy beats half those guys.
I mean,
half
could Blades, probably. Who else could Blades fight here? I mean, the Cormier fight to me is really interesting, but I doubt it'll ever happen.
That's never ever happening.
Could they do a Dos Santos fight at some point? I don't know. Derek Lewis? I don't know.
Maybe Lewis
Ivanov winner faces Blades next. I could see that.
Yeah, it seems like he's gonna be forced to do a stay ready fight. You know.
Yeah, because there are just no matchups up there. I mean, I'm pretty sure Ngannou's waiting around for a title shot, and then if DC fights again, it's literally gonna be against two people. So.
Yep.
And one of those is Stipe, which I think is probably going to happen. I think that's what's going to happen. So Blades is definitely going to have to fight somebody else first. I don't think he minds that. I mean,
easy payday. Yep. Stipe again next.
Yeah, I think DC is going to take. Dana wants him to rematch it. He wants the trilogy. I don't think DC stays around for any other fights besides him or Bones. They said Bones isn't fighting the rest of the year now. So, I mean, the only fight to make it at heavyweight up there is really DC and Stipe. Dana said he wants the trilogy. DC said he's only even going to think about coming back for that fighter, maybe another Bones fight. So, DC's not going to go out on that loss. I'll tell you that right fucking now. There's no way that dude retires on that loss. No fucking way. That guy's like an all-time great in this sport with a mindset that's just different. There's no way that dude retires on that loss. Especially how he lost. Knowing that he done knocked this guy out once, was on his way to just tooling him a second time, and then goes out like that, there's no way. I cannot see that happening.
Let's see what happens. It's going to be interesting in that regard. Moving up, we got Habib's training partner. Another guy named after the religion. There's two of them on this card. Islam. Makhachev. I mean, was there any way a guy named Islam was losing in front of the sultans of the UAE? I mean, going against Davi Ramos, if you listen to Rogan's Fight Companion, they couldn't. Oh, Davi Ramos. Oh, Eddie Bravo. Oh,
just
my God.
Just slobbing the knob,
just
eh?
Slobbing the knob. Nothing to offer. I mean, the guy landed, I think, 9 strikes the entire fight.
We knew
he missed so much.
We knew how this was going to go.
This was just going to be a shitty striking fight, and Mac and Cheese is the better striker. It was pretty damn simple.
Mac and Cheese is real.
He's very real.
He needs a top 10 opponent. It's. I think it's time.
Ramos just is.
McAdams versus Kevin Lee would be pretty appealing, but let's see what happens. Yeah, nothing to say about Ramos. I mean, he's.
Yeah, he's just too one dimensional at that level. He doesn't.
I agree with you. Now another split decision that. Boy, and this ruined the consensus bet, which I thought was a pretty good bet.
It was a good bet.
Should have won. Paul Felder against Edson Barboza. Two of the judges gave it to Felder. Okay, then. 30-27, one for each side. Classic MMA. Let's pay these guys $2,000 to fly to Abu Dhabi and then miss score a fight card. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just however you scored this fight. If you had a 30-27, I think either way, you're a fucking moron. Period. You're just a moron. I even scored it for Edson. I bet Edson big, and I didn't even think he won all three, but he won that fucking fight, man. Like straight up. I just don't know, man. Every now and then we get most to agree on a bad decision, and like everybody was agreeing that this was a pretty bad decision. Felder got lumped up, man. He did get off, don't get me wrong, but goddamn, the shit Edson landed on him. Edson won that fight, man. That was a bad decision. That's all I'm gonna say about that. It pissed me off.
This was about a 7.5 unit swing for me.
Me too, man. It was big
so,
for me.
That was rough. I had Edson by decision at like +300, so that was a tough one to swallow. But yeah, I mean, it's tough because we know these judges. They're shitty enough as it is, and when you have a guy that's coming forward damn near all the time, it's gonna fucking confuse the judges, and they're gonna go with that way.
The punches he was missing and shit, man. You know, it's like we're seeing it close. You know, I hear you. We're seeing it real close and shit, and they're supposed to though. You know, they always see a guy coming forward winging, man. It's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's tough. I mean, it was pretty simple. It's just whoever you scored the second for won the fight. It's not like Felder had a terrible second round. I mean, he split Barboza open from the bottom, and I mean, judges see blood, and that's another big one. So there was just a couple things that some shittier judges fall in love with the forward pressure and the blood, and that's how it goes. It's just another on the long list of unfortunate decisions that could have went our way.
Main event. My guy.
That dude.
Just the eagle, mauling.
The bear.
He's great.
The man. The myth. The legend. The best there ever is. The best there ever was. Perhaps the best, or the man that will retire with the undefeated record that there ever will be. Who knows? But he's 28-0, 8 knockouts, 10 submissions, 10 decisions. Khabib Nurmagomedov does it again. In a fight where a lot of people thought he could face some real adversity. The Liverpool fan.
Fucking idiots.
In his last 5 fights, he has now defeated Michael Johnson by submission, Edson Barboza by decision, Ally Aquinta by decision, Conor McGregor by submission, Dustin Poirier by decision. 3 rounds.
Submission.
It wasn't close. Again.
It was a mauling. It was an absolute
mauling.
Mauling. Which is crazy, because, I mean, Dustin is a fucking high level lightweight, and he, if you show that to somebody and they have no idea who two of those guys are, you'll be like, well, that guy, why are these guys fighting? That was a fucking mauling. He just got controlled the whole time. He did land a couple shots, but I think people got a little too excited. I don't think they were close to rocking Khabib. Khabib has just an unreal chin. I wish I wasn't so scared away by so many people being on Dustin and just taking some licks lately in main events, because this was a pretty easy money. I had Khabib by decision. I thought Poirier could have stuck it out a bit, but that obviously didn't happen. It's almost not fair. Like it's at that level. It's not fair what Khabib can do to you. He just makes you not want to fight because you just can't do anything. I still think there's some fun fights out there for him, some intriguing fights that some guys make, the way they match up. There's some interesting things going on there with Tony, obviously, and Gaethje, if he can ever get a title shot. So at least there's still a couple intriguing fights out there. He hasn't wiped the division, but it's getting close.
Wes?
Just witnessing greatness, man. We're watching the I'm gonna go ahead and call him the greatest MMA wrestler ever. I'm going over GSP at this point. Like I think he's proved it. Mainly because his wrestling leads to just brutal beatdowns when he gets it to where he wants to get it, and GSP would do a little bit more humping. So it's just it's incredible what he's doing to some of the best fighters in the sport. Dustin, he did land a couple. I've said it for a while now, though, Khabib's chin is completely underrated. Like, people always say that, oh, he's gonna get caught by something. He's so wild coming in reckless on takedown. Somebody, they're saying Connor was going to catch him with something, knock him out. His chin's good enough. Like, who's going to beat that guy? I think Tony has, so I wouldn't even pick Tony, not even close. But like, if I had to pick a guy that, like, I think has some kind of small chance just because he's so wild and shit, and he does some stuff, which I think works in Tony's advantage a little bit, but also works really bad against him, against a guy like Khabib. But is Tony really going to be able to land something before Khabib gets a hold of his ass? I mean, I'm just not sure Tony's wild enough on the ground to pull something off on Khabib at this point. Poirier kind of jumping for that choke was just, I know it was kind of tight for a second. It was never going to get in there, man. Like, that Poirier's usually been a really, really smart fighter inside the cage.
He drops the guillotines. That's what he does, man.
Yeah.
I watched a couple of his previous fights. That's kind of like his go-to. He did it against Eddie, and he's done it a couple other times.
Yeah. Once he starts getting into a firefight a little bit. Yeah. That was dumb, man. That was the end of it. I knew that was the end of the fight pretty much right there. Dustin was going to be done after that. And I think, outside of that fight, and, there, like Sean said, the division isn't cleaned out. There's some very, very intriguing fights. Whether I do think he wins these fights, I absolutely want to see that Ferguson fight. That is just, even though I think Khabib wins it fairly easily, there's just some intrigue and some, you have a feeling that some wild shit could happen. And I think only Ferguson gives you that feeling against Khabib. Gaethje's interesting, don't get me wrong. But we need to start talking about the greatness of Khabib, man. He is already an all-time great. People need to slow their roll a whole fucking lot comparing him to John, though. Like, I love Khabib, but
well,
That Khabib's strength of schedule does not touch John Jones's strength of schedule. John Jones has fought and beat like 8 or 9 past champions.
Hall of Famers.
Just stop with it.
Like, how many Hall of Famers has John beaten?
I mean, I don't know. I have to look at it, but I mean,
problem is John Jones is looking shittier and shittier.
I can get the argument. I see a couple people talking now this week that is Khabib the best pound for pound right now, but not the greatest of all time. I can hear that argument. I can hear that argument just because of what he's doing in present day. I could hear that argument. I don't necessarily agree with it. John's still winning his fights. John is still beating who has been put in front of him.
Yeah, but the way he's doing it compared to what Khabib's doing.
I understand that.
Listen to the Hall of Famers that John's beating. We'll start with Stephen Bonner, even though he's not a real Hall of Famer. Okay, that's one. Okay? He's also beaten Ryan Bader. Maybe not a Hall of Famer, but close. If you count the Bellator.
He's probably now. Yeah, he's
Shogun, definitely 2. Rampage 3, Machida 4, Rashad 5.
That was just
Vitor Belfort 6. We won't even count the Chael win. Gustafson, okay. Glover, and then he beat Cormier twice.
Twice. Yeah. That
his those 7 Hall of Famers at a minimum? I mean, okay.
Nobody ever touched that. Like, when are you ever gonna get a guy with a strength of schedule like that? You don't ever come at me with anybody else being the greatest of all time outside of John Jones. I'll never hear it. Like, there's nobody in the sport that has a resume like that. They literally can't get it. But like I said, I can get the argument of arguing that Khabib is the best pound for pound in the sport right now.
Okay, let's look at Anderson Silva just for sake of reference.
His run.
He beat Rich Franklin multiple times. Okay, that's one guy. He beat Travis Luter. Okay, whatever. Nate Marquardt, pretty good fighter at the time. Dan Henderson, Hall of Famer. James Irvin, joke. Patrick Cote, strongman. Talis Ladies,
joke.
Journeyman. Forrest Griffin, Hall of Famer. That's probably arguably his best win.
I don't agree with that. Like, Forrest by name and a couple wins is going to get in there, but like, he wasn't
When he beat Rich Franklin, his prime was probably his best win. He beat Chael, okay. Bonner again.
That's nothing.
Nick Diaz he beat, but that was a weird fight. And then he has a win over Derek Brunson. I mean, the Vitor Belfort win is a good one, but it wasn't Vitor at his prime even. Damian Maia.
And people need to, when you talk about Anderson, here's like, I mean, I've had people get mad at me. Like, I don't necessarily shit on Anderson Silva. I think he's an all-time talent and an all-time great fighter. But I think people really forget, like, go back and watch, like, some of his Pride stuff.
No, they like him because of the way he won, not because of who he beat.
I mean, he used to literally get taken down and laid on top of in Pride and shit. He got like some he got heel hooked by fucking Rio Chonan and shit before he got to the UFC. Like,
and the only other guy then is St. Pierre. I mean, the wins that St. Pierre has, I mean, Frank Trigg's a pretty good win at the time. When you look at it that way, I mean, he beat Matt Hughes.
I mean, him beating Matt Hughes is a huge win, you know.
Yeah, obviously, because Matt Hughes is one of the greatest welterweights of all time, probably number 2. Frank Trigg, not a Hall of Famer, but good fighter. BJ Penn, Hall of Famer. Matt Hughes, Hall of Famer. Koscheck, really good fighter. Matt Hughes, again, he beat. Matt Serra, okay. Yeah. I mean, Fitch is a really good fighter. Thiago Alves, you know, pretty good fighter. Not great, though.
Arguably Hardy. Lost to Johnny, though, and got knocked out by Matt Serra.
Beat Carlos Condit when Condit was really good. Nick Diaz. And then, you know, obviously the Hendricks win was fairly good. And then he beat
Bisping. It's crazy. It's crazy when you look at it.
Maybe 3 Hall of Famers, maybe 4. It's really
crazy when you compare it.
St. Pierre wasn't a lot of lulls in St. Pierre's fights. Like, he beat a lot of, like, solid guys. There wasn't like, oh, he fought like a scrub here. Like, Anderson had some levels where he fought scrubs, and I think John sort of had that, like, especially later on, because he kind of cleared everybody else out. But
his title,
John beat guys that were, like, over the hill.
No.
He made them over the hill, I would say.
His title run, like those 7-8 in a row where he beat champs or former champs, they were champs. Like he was beating guys that held the belt. That 7-8 fight run right there where he was beating Belfort and Machida and Shogun and those guys, that run is never going to be done again. Like that's, and look how we're comparing like some of the all-time greats. Their shit ain't even close to what that guy fought. You know what I'm saying?
Last one we'll look at is Demetrius Johnson, okay?
No, we don't even need to look at that.
No.
You don't want to even look. The strength of
schedule's not there. Like, it's not even worth the time.
Now, Khabib is starting to put together something that's...
It might be too late, though.
I don't know if he can beat Ferg, if he can beat fucking Gaethje.
What about Cormier? I mean,
Cormier's got two knockout losses, or a knockout loss.
Outside of the losses to John, though, let's see. I mean, he's beaten Barnett, he's beaten Bigfoot, he beat Mir, he beat Roy Nelson, he beat Dan Henderson, he beat Rumble twice. He's beaten Gustafsson.
He
beat Stipe. I mean, it's a pretty decent resume.
It's a good run.
Rumble in his legit Jack State at 205 is probably his best win in there. Like straight up, like beating some of those guys, Roy Nelson, Josh Barnett and shit. Like, come on, man. Come on.
That's fair. Aldo? What about Aldo?
No. I think the difference is, though, that the bigger weight classes have more of a history. So the history is just not there for lightweight.
How is
Khabib supposed to beat Hall of Famers when there's how many Hall of Famers at lightweight are there?
When John was fighting those guys, 205 was like had been the best weight class
and just
on the planet.
The history of pride and stuff like that. That's the problem. The lighter weight classes don't have the history, so you can't beat guys that are Hall of Famers because there's no Hall of Famers because it's such a new division.
Some of those guys that John beat made their history in Pride, which is a big organization at the time, or in Strikeforce. There are no other big organizations to make your name off of now.
But so, 155... 155 has been around for a long time. I mean,
but where are the fighters coming from?
Yeah. So name a 155 Hall of Famer other than BJ Penn,
Frankie Edgar, Ben Henderson.
Yeah. I mean, those guys.
Henderson is a Hall of Famer. That dude won a couple fucking sketchy
Anthony
decisions.
Anthony Pettis is borderline at this point. I don't
know. He had like two good wins.
Donald Cerrone probably is.
There's no, you can't name him because there's never been the talent in 155 that there has always been at 205. Like 205
Cerrone,
built
Cerrone
that over a long time.
Cerrone definitely is though. He will be. He doesn't even need to win a title to do it.
Who, Cerrone? No, I mean he's a lock now. Yeah, he's.
But Cerrone's also the guy that always comes up short in title fights.
Yeah, but just his body of work and fighting a million times and all that.
True, but I mean, you still have to win a title.
I don't think so.
I mean, I guess he was the WEC champ, was he not?
I mean, if Bisping never won the UFC title, would he have been a Hall of Famer? He might have been anyway. Just for like a lengthy body of work.
Yeah,
just,
but
like,
those
constantly fighting, all that fun stuff. He beat Dos Anjos, Khabib, who was a champion. I mean, that's the problem. When you're a champion, like... you hold the title for a lengthy period of time, who are the other guys?
Right.
They're never going to be the champion unless they came from other divisions. I mean, could Khabib fight Max Holloway one day? I suppose. It's unlikely. He was supposed to. Could he fight Ferguson? Yeah. Could he fight Cerrone at some point? Maybe. Could he fight Gaethje? Yeah, maybe. I mean, how many guys does he need to beat?
Yeah. I mean, he could be the next 15. He'll never be the greatest of all time. I mean, it just...
Well, at least 40-0 and never lost, I think it would be kind of wild.
Well, I mean, if John retires fucking 30-1 and has beaten everybody in his path to a pulp, I mean... But I mean, enough. I mean, Khabib's got a bunch of, you know, decision shit. I'm not going to get into
that. I know.
John,
I'm just talking, like, recently. I mean, John Jones is going to, like, he could have lost to Anthony Smith. He is a fucking idiot of what he did, but he literally could have lost.
And it's not talent. I get that. But he also just 5 years ago went through the gauntlet of the greatest 205ers.
I know.
And murdering them all. That's got to count.
Yeah,
too.
You got to remember in six consecutive fights, John beat Bader, Shogun, Rampage, Machida, Rashad, and Vitor.
And killed them.
Six straight fights.
And killed
them. Over the course, look how long it took him to do it. A year and a half.
Yeah, that's the ridiculous part.
I get
exactly what you're saying, Sean. We want to talk about present day. That's why I'm going to go back to saying that if you want to say that Khabib is pound for pound right now the best guy in the sport, yeah, I can agree with that.
If they both
go down undefeated, and like we don't know if Khabib competes for another 7-8 years, how he's going to be competing at fucking 30-something years old?
I don't think he's going to.
I'm just saying
he might get to 30 wins and retire.
He's going to retire early, but I mean, when we get to talking stuff like that, that's why the greatest of all time debate gets sketchy and kind of dumb, because people are going to look at it different ways. Me, like, I'm going to look at each individual fighter at that point. Let's quit, making contrast. John Jones would beat Khabib. Put him in a cage. John Jones is beating fucking Khabib. So he's just going to be just better than me. If we're going to like split hairs down to the final hair, John Jones walks in a cage and beats fucking Khabib, both in their prime. But just his resume, for me, John's always going to be the best. Can't argue otherwise.
Well, I think they're certainly the two best right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having no losses plays a big part in it. As good as Cejudo has looked over the last year, I mean, he was still finished in the opening round against Demetrius not too long ago. And that's going to taint his resume forever. Even if he wins, even if he doesn't lose five times, even if he doesn't lose in the next 5 years, that will still taint his resume when it comes to these all-time discussions.
I love GSP and think GSP is like one of the two or three, four best fighters ever, but it matters that he got knocked out slick by Matt Serra. You know, it does. It matters when you're splitting hairs with the greatest of all time. You can't take knockout losses like that and still be considered the best. Even though I think GSP is, skill wise, one of the two, three, four best fighters that's ever lived. Good debate, At least Khabib is in the modern day and doing the things that he's doing, and he's actually in the conversation now. I think me and you, Jay, we remember just maybe a couple very short years ago when he was a fucking joke on this show and all around Twitter of never showing up to fight, and he's never going to fight this and that.
Khabib was a band-aid.
I never joked about it.
We all trashed you, Jay.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was ahead of my time, and I was a visionary.
Well, he was a band-aid.
It's good to see that he's shown up the past fucking year and a half and put on some amazing performances.
Even the moron down in Hermitage, Tennessee, recognizes the greatness, I think, at this point. So. Yeah, he's doing something.
Which was always crazy, the kind of wrestling.
He still bet against him on last Saturday.
Yeah, he did.
The fucking idiot. Next time I won't take him to a good pizza place when he comes to New York. We'll get him. moving on, we're going to New Sean's land, Canada.
Sean's on the other side of the country, though, right?
Well, he might
be back by then.
Are you going, Sean?
No, I'm not going to Vancouver. It's crazy. Flights to Vancouver from where I am, it's an hour and 15 minute flight, or like $600 minimum round trip.
God, I've heard that that flying in Canada is just
fucking brutal,
insanely outrageous. Like,
yeah,
why is it so
expensive? My flight to Toronto this week was $1,100 round trip.
Holy shit! Well,
go to fucking Europe for that.
Business travel's annoying, but I get it.
Yeah, I don't pay it, so I don't care.
Exactly. Let's move on. We got a fight card there. There's a bunch of fights. I don't really care much about these prelims. We'll hear what these guys have to say, if anything. First fight, I believe, is Austin Hubbard, who sounds like he could be a pro wrestler with that name, taking on Kyle
Prophylactic.
Prophylactic. Yeah,
Prophylactic.
Wes, you got anything here? Because I certainly don't.
Man, not too much. I know Hubbard didn't look horrible going to a decision with Davi Ramos last time. But it wasn't like it was something on the mat and he held off Davi Ramos. It was just kind of a slow, stupid striking match. So I don't know how much you put in that, but this Prophylactic, he did, he lost to Taleb, man. And, I would bet Hubbard small here if this wasn't up in Canada and you had a Canadian Caucasian hope fighting here. So I'm gonna probably pass, but I think Hubbard gets it done. I think he's a little bit better than this guy, but it's gonna be a close fight and probably go to a decision. No way I'm trusting those judges up there.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else is. New Sean, you don't care, I assume.
Yeah, never a bad idea to fade Canada, but I'm not even touching it, but the pick's Hubbard.
Friend of the MMA Analysis, former Toutmaster competitor, Louis Smoka, taking on someone called Ryan McDonald. Might as well be a defenseman in the National Hockey League. Wes, you can take the reins. Will Smoka get a W here?
Yeah, probably. He's better than this guy. I don't want my money on Smoker though. At -225, gets a decent marginal fighter that's tough that might go a couple rounds and maybe get to the scorecards. I'm not trusting Smoke at 2-1 there, but he should get it done.
All right then, Nushon.
Yeah, it's always tough to trust Smoka as a decent favorite just because of things that happened in his fights. I think if you look to bet this fight, I would probably look at fight doesn't go to decision around even money, just because wild shit happens usually in Smoka fights. And McDonald's inside the distance was like +870 for a little bit. It's down to +700, so even that might be worth a little sprinkle just because of, like I said, how crazy Smoka usually fights. But yeah, McDonald has a pretty pumped up record, so the pick's definitely Smoka.
Smoka's over -200, definitely not the price range I would want to bet him in. If anything, it might be a Toutmaster McDonald play just because I don't find Smoka trustworthy in the slightest. Next fight, we got Jordan Griffin favored over Chad Skelly. Am I reading that right, Wes?
Yep.
Yeah, it looks that way. Yeah, I don't know much of what to think of this fight, man. Chad Skelly is just that guy's gone off a cliff, dude. He's
from the, you know, look who he used to train with all the time.
Yeah, he's
fallen off a cliff, too.
I don't think he's that good, man, but there's no goddamn way I'm laying any kind of juice on Jordan Griffin. This is stay far away fight for me. Pick is going to be Griffin though. I just think he's a little bit younger, fresher guy, and Skelly's just, man, that dude's not good. So Griffin's the pick, but no bet whatsoever for me.
Nushon?
Losing back-to-back fights inside the distance to Jason Knight and Bobby Moffitt is not great, and that's probably why our buddy Chaz Skelly is now an underdog to Jordan Griffin. I'll pick Skelly. I mean, he's the more seasoned fighter, but maybe look at him, take him by submission. It's like +350 right now. Skelly,
he likes those chokes. Yeah.
He likes those chokes, and
yeah. He does.
And Griffin's been choked before, so if I was to sprinkle any money, that's probably what I would do.
By choice, or?
Eh, who knows? I might feel frisky.
Oh, okay. I meant, does Jordan Griffin like to get choked by choice?
Oh! I was like, what the fuck?
I thought you said, oh, no, that was Skelly. I'm thinking, we going Lloyd Irvin over here and shit?
Yeah. Jordan Griffin's 0-1 in the UFC with a loss to Dan Ige. I mean, Ige is fairly decent, but I mean, he's favored now over a guy who has, like, legitimate wrestling chops and has fought in the UFC a bunch of times, and Skelly's only lost 4 times his entire career. I'll definitely tout Master Chad Skelly. I'm really surprised he's the underdog, even if I wouldn't trust him with a bet, which I don't think I do now, because I don't trust the way he cuts weight, to be candid. Next fight, we got Canadian pound for pound number 10, Brad Katona.
They don't claim this one.
Oh, really?
This dude's from fucking Ireland. He's repping SBG. Get the fuck out of here. He ain't Canadian.
They don't claim him,
Canadian
though.
Passport?
Yeah, we revoking that shit.
Are you sure about that? I think
I'm trying to get it revoked anyway.
I'm pretty sure he's Canadian.
Yeah.
He's definitely Canadian. So, yeah. Don't hate. He's born in Winnipeg.
Yeah, but he moved to Ireland, so now he's got like an Irish Canadian accent and trains it at SBG. Yeah, it's horrible.
Bad, well, that's really bad. But anyway, he's facing something called Hunter the Azores. I mean, he must be a big fan of Italy.
Well, I mean, in this fight, I think we got us just a whole plate of a nice little pooch from the fucking. From the place known as the Lab down in Arizona, where they serve up chicken parm 7 days a week.
It's gonna be a poutine special this week, I think.
I mean, I'm fading Cantona, man. I don't think this guy's very good, dude. There, for some reason, people love this dude. The guy that Aruju fought on Contender Series was an undefeated, pretty good prospect, man. And he got a pretty fairly easy unanimous decision over him. He's jacked up, man. I think he could wrestle Cantona and make this an ugly fight. Cantona likes to stand at distance and strike. And hell yeah, give me +150 here. I'm fading Cantona. If I lose, I lose. But that guy's going to always be a fade for me at plus money. So. Let's serve up some sloppy chicken parm.
Nushan, are you going to be at the cantina to watch Cantona?
I am not, and Cantona is not even really a fun fighter to watch, in my opinion. So it's all kinds of terrible. I don't mind fading Cantona either, but our friend the Greek Chicklets is on.
yeah, that's the problem.
Using that term loosely.
The Hunter. So I am staying away from this fight. I'll probably not even watch it because don't give a fuck.
That's a massive caveat.
Well, hopefully the Canadian cooler makes a bet on this card because you know what to do then.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Well, it didn't work out on Monday night, but I'm sure
we're still up on the year. Don't worry.
It worked out. It worked out Sunday, though. Trust me.
Yeah.
God damn, that was
good
stuff.
I don't really know what to tell you, as I haven't seen Hunter Azori fight. I think Katona's got a pretty good gas tank. I think he does well later in the fights, typically second, mostly third round. He's one of those guys, slow start, like fairly decent finisher. But let's see what Hunter Azori has to offer before we have our money anywhere near this bout. We got, man, this got to be like the battle of porn stars. Cole Smith. Versus Miles Johns. I mean, come on, these aren't real names, are they? Where'd they find these guys? The Valley.
He's known as Pole Smith in the Valley.
Miles.
Cole the Pole
Miles
Smith.
Miles of Johns. Okay.
Oh man, that's good shit. This is another pretty close fight, I think. I kind of lean Miles Johns, man. I think he's definitely going to be the faster, more athletic guy in this fight. I think he's fought much better competition than Cole Smith, but Man, it's just another really close fight up in Canada that's probably going to see the scorecards. And I just don't know if I trust it to lay minus 130 on Johns. It has come down a tiny bit. So Johns goes down anywhere near even money. I'll take a little shot on him.
Nushon, thoughts here? Are you going? You want a John or a Smith?
I don't want either of them.
Should have wanted a John.
like I said, fading Canada is probably pretty good for your bank in the long term. Cole the Pole is fighting in his hometown, so he might get a greasy decision. So I'm staying away from this fight, but I'll pick Miles Johns. Like Wes said, I think he's faced the better competition. I think he's the better fighter right now.
Yeah, I got nothing here. Seems to be the theme, but candidly, I don't care about this fight. Next fight I care a little bit more about. Heavyweights, I've seen both these guys. Marcin Tybura, everyone's favorite Tibia, taking on August Sakai. Really enthralling heavyweight bout.
Yeah, this might get kind of sloppy.
And slow, yeah.
Yeah, I still don't understand. People kind of like Sakai. They've kind of hyped him up a little bit. I mean, he was life and death at times with fucking 79-year-old fucking Andre Arlovsky. His wins in the UFC ain't much to talk about. I just think Tybura is a little bit more well-rounded than Sakai, a little bit better on the feet. I know he's lost three of his last four, but that competition is much better than anybody that Sakai has fought. So yeah, I'm probably gonna hold my nose and take a shot on Tybura here, just because I think he should be favored by probably another dollar. So Tybura for me, and gonna be a small bet as well.
Nushon.
Yeah, definitely lean Tybura in this fight. I think he's the much more skilled fighter. I just don't think much of Augusto Sakai. The Greek chicklets came out and is hammering Sakai, so that
hammering was the word he used.
Well, I forget what he said. He said bet it up to like -150 or something.
Yeah. So his guys, the ones he takes papers from in Philadelphia, they bet it.
Yeah, those wise guys, right?
The wise.
So that's definitely pushing me to bet Tybura. It's probably just going to be small, and we'll see if I can fade the chicklet and cash some more.
I can't even imagine wise guys are even sending him things to bet in Vegas anymore. They can bet legally in Pennsylvania. He's a fucking liar.
They're fucking $200, $100 openers at dimes. That's who opens these lines. So get the fuck out of here with your wise guy money.
What is he? What
I mean, you know, like even sports books in Vegas, like on the prelim fights and shit on most of these cards, the max is like $500 or $1,000. Like, you're not getting any kind of real money on these, some of these fights anywhere, like anywhere, not online, not in Vegas, nowhere. Like, these motherfuckers are so full of shit, dude. It's unbelievable that the fucking Dana White and the UFC put this motherfucker on broadcast and shit.
Well,
he's probably doing it for free. I wouldn't be surprised.
Definitely.
Oh yeah, I would almost think he does it just to get his, because he just started just some
get his
new
name out there. Yeah,
he just started some new fucking betting fucking website with fucking Kelly Vegas and shit. Yeah. He's got.
God, that's got to be a shit show.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I got
never stop.
I got Sakai D, Tybura C minus. I'll take the leg bone over my favorite Saki, just because I like what Nushon had to say. Just a more well-rounded, just a better skilled fighter. There's just more tools that Tybura has to offer. I don't like how he gets a little mooky defensively at times, though. That's a concern, but
If I'm picking a fight, I look for skill, and a guy that can actually get to the end of a third round over a guy that's he just has less tools in the chest. So Tibia it is. Main card time. We got Misha Cirkunov taking on Jimmy Crew. This should be the first of what should be a pretty entertaining main card. Wes, I know you got some thoughts here. One of your favorites is fighting.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but
you're hyping him up, Wes. Don't fucking pull back now. I've heard you talk about Jimmy Crute.
I mean, I think he's decent. I think he can be pretty good, man. You don't get a lot of I mean, it's 205, man. 23-year-old kid that's got some skills, man. Don't get me wrong, this is a close fight, and I just think there's a couple ways it can play out. Cirkunov is probably got to get this to the mat. I think it's pretty fair to say that he's got a fucking glass chin at this point. Anybody gets a good fucking touch on it and he's in trouble. Now if he can get Crute to the mat and be on top for an extended amount of time, it's some trouble. But I think Crute's got enough takedown defense to keep this up for long enough that he can lay some hands on Cirkunov, and then this fight's going to change. So I bet my boy Crute here. I got to stick with him. I laid a little juice at minus 135, and he's come down to almost even money. So that's probably going to be my first legal bet in Indiana tomorrow. Is I'm going to go over there, and if he's around that same price, I'm going to throw a couple more hundo on old Jimmy Crute.
Indiana could make some money on West potentially. That's interesting. I guess it won't be the first time. New Sean.
Yeah, I think this is a fairly simple fight. If Cirkunov can get Crute down, then it's probably going to be over. He probably subs him. If he doesn't, he probably gets knocked out. It's hard to say what Jim Crute's takedown defense is like. I couldn't tell you. I was hoping
anybody else.
Yeah, I was hoping Cirkunov's sub number was a bit bigger. It's only plus 245, so that's kind of a pass for me. So I'll probably just sit back and watch. I'll pick Cirkunov, though. I think he pulls a rabbit out of his hat and gets one of these wins.
Washed.
Yeah, he's pretty washed.
I got Cirkunov a C-, Crute a D+. This is a tough fight to call. I think Cirkunov has the game changer with his submission game, assuming he can get it to the ground, which I think he can. I'm not a believer in Crute defensive wrestling, but let's see. Obviously, Cirkunov is extremely mooky on the feet. So, again, tough fight to call. I slightly favor Cirkunov. At even money, I would certainly pick him to win, but I wouldn't feel confident here. I'm like Wes. I kind of like Crute as a fighter, so I'd like to see him kind of get the W. I think it would be more meaningful, but let's see. This fight certainly got a little bit of hype going into this week. We got Uriah Hall taking on the dude Antonio Carlos Jr. Wes,
look, just hear me out.
Uh-oh.
Just hear me out a little bit. Like, you couldn't see this fight kind of going like Uriah Hall's last fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he can weather some stuff here, like, I'm telling you, this gets to the second and third round, man. Shoeface just ain't the same, man, when this gets in the second and third round. And I'm not sure that he can necessarily get Uriah out of there, man. Uriah's last couple fights, I mean, he took quite a bit from Lewis, ended up getting him out of there. I know it was a big punch. I mean, he was landing some stuff on fucking Paulo Costa, who we know is just an absolute fucking beast, man. At 2-1, man, I'm probably gonna bet Uriah Hall in 2019, man. Nothing big, but I just, something's telling me that Shoeface is not going to be able to get him out of there and is going to gas hard. And, you know, if Uriah Hall has shown anything over the past couple fights, that he's not really a quitter, man. He'll stay in that fight and keep bombing away. So I think that could happen here at 2-1. He'll definitely be a pick for in Top Master for me. And I think I'm gonna take a little shot on Uriah Hall in 2019.
Nishan.
I can't even think the last time Hall fought a guy like Shoeface, a guy with, you know, some decent wrestling and a very good jiu-jitsu game. Hall's been fighting pretty much strikers for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 fights. I think Shoeface gets him down. I think he chokes him out. It will get sketchy if it does extend to the later in the second round and third round, but I got Shoeface at -170. I just played it for one unit, just because there is some sketchiness there. But at that number, I had to take it. I think he was able to get him down and, yeah, choke him.
Very positive. I got Carlos Jr. C+, Uriah Hall C. You know, Uriah Hall just continues to have mookie performances. It seems like every 18 months to 2 years, he has one of those like shocker wins against a guy he shouldn't beat.
He already used that one up this year, so we're good.
Right. It happens. I still can't believe he beat Gegard Mousasi. I don't think I'll ever forget that.
Yep.
Antonio Carlos Jr. certainly more steady of a fighter, although I think he's a fighter who I think should be better than he may actually be. You know, obviously a serious ground game could easily submit Uriah Hall on the ground. Probably that's what happens. You know, Uriah Hall does have the ability for theatrics, so I wouldn't want to bet on the money line here for Carlos Jr., but I think maybe a prop on a finish could certainly be a possibility. I think if he does win, it likely will be by just laying on top of Hall for a while or submitting him. So that's the way I would look at it. The next fight, I believe, is some jobber versus Mikel Pereira. Is that right, Wes?
Yeah, I think he's Tim Horton's fucking server.
Oh, he's a server at Tim Horton's. Oh, in Vancouver. Got
Tristan.
It.
Tristan, the Caucasian server.
Mm. Yikes. That's all you got? Okay. Anything else, or that's it?
Oh, God.
Is he a nice guy? Did you tip him well?
Yeah, does he make his coffee like you like it, Wes, or what?
He does put those like little Canadian maple leaves in the cream on top. It's really fucking cool.
I wouldn't be laying -500 on Pereira. This dude's a wild man, and he's lost a shit ton before because of being a wild man, but this guy seems to be just an absolute nobody they pulled out of Tim Hortons. So not a chance I would take the underdog here.
Yeah, that's my exact thoughts. Pereira, they're bringing in a warm body for Pereira.
Fucking sweet, though.
Yeah, they're setting him up to put on something crazy like he did in his debut. But like Sean said, he's exactly right. He's lost some fights, even just a couple years ago, doing crazy shit in fights over in Europe. So there's no way to lay -500 on this guy. Just sit back and hopefully he does some crazy shit.
There's nothing to say here. You guys already did. It's they want this Pereira kid to win and to do so in an impressive fashion. Let's move on to better things.
Are you sure about that?
Wait a second. They got a heavyweight fight between a contender series guy, I think was LFA champion at one point, Jeff Hughes, and Gronk's doppelganger? Todd Duffy's back!
Over 4 years.
Doppelganger.
Do you guys remember that Frank Mir fight when they were just throwing fucking fastballs?
Yes!
Just terrible.
He was swinging his arm like it was a 2x4 connected to his chest. That was what Duffy was throwing.
Yeah,
It was in San Diego. It was a main event. I remember that fight. That fight was awesome.
That was for a minute 13, for how long it lasted. They just straight up just threw fastballs at each other's face.
I think I bet Mir. That was good. Don't remember. Too long ago. Wes, can Duffy really win this fight? Let's be honest.
Man, seriously, I can't see it. I mean, we don't. It's no bullshit. It's been like 4 years since this guy's fought, man. Pop for whatever the fuck he's popped for. And I mean, outside of all that, just not good. Like I was just saying, watch that Frank Mir fight. Look at the punches that Duffy was throwing in that fight. It's literally probably the worst technique you'll ever see. Ever.
Anybody still rocked Frank Mir, though.
I mean, Frank Mir, I could flick Frank in the temple and that dude's going down. But, I mean, the only bad thing that throws me off here again, like another fight on this card is Chiclet Man is on a side here, which means I'll probably have to pass. But I would be pretty surprised if Jeff Hughes doesn't beat fucking Todd Duffy in this fight. Jeff Hughes has fought some legitimate competition. He was the champ down at LFA. If he loses this fight, man, he needs to be cut because Todd Duffy is shit and hasn't fought in 4 years.
Nushon.
So Todd Duffy has never went to the decision before. He actually has only won one fight that's left the first round. So if there's anybody out there that's betting Todd Duffy, you might as well take him by TKO. It's like plus 175 compared to plus 105. I'm not touching this fight. Hopefully it's an awesome heavyweight fight where guys just basically do what the Frank Mir fight was. But yeah, I can't touch it. It's probably gonna happen. It's gonna be
awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll pick fucking Todd Duffy because heavyweight's dumb and dumb shit happens.
You never fucking know, man.
You never know is right. I have no idea. If anything, I think you have to play Hughes just based on who knows where Duffy's at. At least with Hughes, you know, he's a fairly big heavyweight. Throws with decent power and is fairly durable. Duffy, if anything, is not durable. He might throw real haze, and he's big, athletic, but not durable. I prefer heavyweight durable versus undurable. So I'll pick Jeff Hughes, but candidly, who the fuck knows? Co-main event, Nikita Krylov versus the Connecticut Dojo Master, Glover,
Garage Weight Champ,
Teixeira.
Oh, just a
Danbury, legend. Danbury Basement, Greenwich, the mean streets of Greenwich.
Trains with the toughest fucking 16-year-old you'll ever fucking meet. Yeah, Glover's a fucking legend, man. Seriously, we're not even joking. To do what this guy's done, training major parts of his life literally out of his fucking garage and doing ice baths and plastic fucking garbage cans and shit. It's just, yeah, it's legendary stuff. Glover's being undervalued here again, I think. It seems to be happening a lot now later in his career. I guess I get it. The dude, like, he gets rocked almost every fight now, but to be 39 and be in all the fights and the wars he's been in, his recovery is still just absolutely insane. A lot of guys that you hope that a lot of guys do what Glover does when he gets a little rocked, he immediately, like, shoots and grabs a hold of a guy and tries to get him down, tries to hold on to him. It's like you pray for your dude to do that if you have money on him. Glover does that. It's very smart. I still never got the Krylov love, man. he went on a win streak and just beating up some of the worst motherfuckers outside of our boy Fabio. That might be the best win of his entire career, but yeah, just beating up on just fucking 90-year-old Emmanuel Newton and shit to get back into the UFC. And I think we're going to see what happened to him when he came back with Jan. I think that Glover could muscle him up, get this against the cage and work on him, and eventually get a takedown and get a triangle or a side choke. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to wait and see.
I got bad Glover news for you, Wes.
It came out.
It was plus 245, and it has been bet down by the wise guys to plus 185.
Oh God, that's horrible. Yeah, we was right though. We said 250. Yeah, we was on it. Motherfuckers must be listening into our taping because they ran out there and smashed it. I would actually love to get a little bit of that plus 245 on Glover sub. I'm probably going to go ahead and go right now and sprinkle a little bit on plus 185 because I was hoping for a round two. Think it's worth a little bet at a round two. So I'll probably take a little bit of that, but I'm heavy on Glover money line. He'll make a round even money here is maybe one of the best bets on the card, in my opinion. I think he gets a sub fairly easily on Krylov.
I got Krylov a C-.
Hey, Walker. Come on, Jay. I got to break this down.
Okay,
okay.
Fine. I got so
don't worry, I'll be quick.
Basically, all right, Sean, what do you got for us?
100% agree with Wes. There's not too much more to add. I got Glover at plus 103, and I got that for 2 units. Yeah, he's still pretty damn good. His hands are fucking still tight, especially for the light heavyweight division. Good recovery, and he is a fairly smart fighter, so he's going to take Krylov down and choke him.
That's it, Nushon?
That's it. That's what I got for you.
I got C-, Krylov, like I said, Glover, C+. Man, Krylov has never beaten a guy of Glover's caliber his entire career. He is an absolute mental mook. He has some talent, especially towards finishing, but, man, he's... I think with Krylov, you have to believe it in order to do anything with it. Glover, for everything we know, is reliable. He's got pretty decent endurance. He can throw, but he's shown in more recent times he can grapple and ultimately submit people. This fight seems tailor-made for Glover to stand tall during an early storm by Krylov, survive it, and then ultimately get the finish as Krylov slows down and mooks out. I like the sub bet as well. I think that's plus 185. Probably worth a stab, but I mean the minus 110 is definitely too good to pass up. I think it's from a side standpoint, money line, it could be the best bet on the entire card. That makes Glover our consensus bet of the week. Last week was a parlay that we got screwed on, no denying that. This week will be just Glover at a pick'em. I like this one quite a bit. One of our better consensus bets in recent time. Let's see. We got one fight left, and it is something we've been looking forward to for months. We got Donald Cerrone, one of the most entertaining fighters in the sport today, taking on, I think it's pretty clear, the most entertaining fighter in the sport today. Every single UFC fight he's been in. Been fight of the night or performance of the night, the dude, the myth, the man, Justin Gaethje. Wes, take us through it.
Yeah, it's this is a really good one. I think Gaethje is pretty much taking over the title as a most entertaining man in MMA. I think we talked about it after his last fight. We tried to think about it. Don't think this guy's ever had a bad round in any of his fights since he's been in the game. Just nonstop action. Dude's just a complete madman. We'll say Gaethje, he gets hit though. There's no doubt about it. He takes some to give two or three more. He's been rocked quite a few times, but he legitimately might have the best recovery that we see in MMA. It's pretty incredible what this guy comes back from after getting legitimately rocked in fights. Cowboy's been on a really good run, man, but I just think this is a bad matchup for him, man. Cowboy he's never done well when a guy comes full speed ahead on him, man, and is throwing the volume that Gagey's going to throw at him. Donald is maybe one of the best still out there when he can sit on that back foot and just guys throw one or two strikes at a time at him, and he can just pick them apart and counter on them. He's unbelievably good at that. That's not going to be the case here, man. Cowboy he doesn't throw enough at this point, I think, to keep Gagey off of him. There's always that chance he lands a big kick or something like that and hurts Gagey. And we know what kind of finisher Cowboy is when he gets you hurt. He's very, very good at it. So I think the line is probably about right. I don't think Gagey should be some huge favorite against him. I do think he gets it done here, though. His pressure is crazy, man. His volume is crazy. And that's just something Cowboy's never dealt with great. So I think Gagey gets a late finish in this fight, somewhere around maybe the third or fourth round. Cowboy, when he gets into those firefights and takes hits, he seems to slow down a lot. Not even from like straight gassing or anything, but just punches take a toll on him and it slows him down a lot. So I think he's going to take a lot of punches in this fight, and Gagey will get him out of there late. So yeah, I like Gagey. I like Gagey inside the distance.
Nushon, thoughts here on the main event?
Just before I break this down, crazy thing. This fight card does not have a single women's fight. I don't know when the hell the last time that was, but that's the old pleasant surprise after looking over this card.
Lance just woke up in bed with a raging heart on.
I like Justin Gaethje in this fight. The forward pressure, the way he attacks the body, I think we might even see one of those, something we haven't seen in a long time. Cowboy getting
hurt to the body.
To the body. It's been a little bit, good but point. He's still susceptible to that. Gaethje is definitely a flawed fighter. He does get hit a lot, but I've never known Cerrone to be a big, he doesn't have big power in his hands. And
it's combos usually, right?
It's more combos, you know. I mean, he could land a head kick for sure. But I think the guys that have really obviously hurt Gaethje is guys with big power. Dustin Poirier, big power in his hands. Same with Eddie Alvarez. He's got big power in his hands. I don't see that as much with Cerrone, but he could definitely land a combination by surprise and get Gaethje rocked. But the amount of strikes that he throws and his forward pressure is going to make Cowboy wilt. So yeah, I really like Gaethje here. I got a decent number on him. I got him at -188. I'd laid it for 2 units. I like him a good amount, and it's never a boring fight one way or another. So tune in and enjoy. What you got, Jay? Jay, did you fall asleep? I know it is late.
I'm here, yes. Final fight. I'm just thinking how I want to break this down. So, right. Main event, Cerrone A-, Justin Gaethje A-. Really good fight. Justin Gaethje, though, is just, I mean, just the volume is so high and the pressure involved in going towards Cerrone. Cerrone really tends to struggle when fighters kind of put him on the back foot. That's really been his Achilles heel, is those fighters that pressure forward. Gaethje is like the king of that. So I think this fight really works in Justin Gaethje's favor. If this fight goes to ground, I'd be really curious to see how that played out, because we haven't seen Gaethje pretty much on the ground at all in the UFC. Power advantage, I think, is fairly similar. They have different strengths. Maybe Gaethje better one-punch knockout power, Cerrone better combo, or straight combo striker. But this should be awesome. Again, if they were still putting odds on, like, performance of the night or fight of the night, like, wouldn't this be, like, minus 500?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be the favorite of all favorites. I mean, every time Justin Gaethje fights, I watch. Every time he fights now, it's a main event. It deserves to be. He's the most entertaining fighter in this sport today. It's never boring. It's always fun. It's always awesome. He's a showman. So is Cerrone. This will be great. But there's nothing else to say. I mean, I think Justin Gaethje gets the win. He's 5 years younger. And just that constant pressure. I think it can hurt Cerrone on the feet and get the finish. I just hope it's not early and it goes a few rounds, because I want to see chaos and fun. And I think we deserve it with this fight. And that does it for this week's show. We burned through this Vancouver card. I think the UFC is like another like 8 or 10 straight weeks of fights, I think, leading into Thanksgiving. I think that's correct. We're just going to keep going and going and going.
Yeah, that next week's fight card is pretty rough.
Which one's that?
It's Yair versus Lil Heathen.
Well, Jeremy, that's a Stevens. Cool fight. Oh, the one in
Mexico. That's an awesome fight, but the rest of it is a fucking dumpster fire.
It is Mexico City, so you can't expect too much. Maybe Kane will show up in a Lucha Libre mask and jump in during one of the fights and get it, you know.
Somebody with a chair?
Yeah, maybe.
Bro, that seriously is atrocious. Holy hell. Dude, that's really bad.
What's bad?
That next fucking card, man. Oh my goodness. That is really, really bad.
I guess I'll take a look at it.
Man, you have a hard time even picking out, like, man, well, those are going to be some good fights and shit on there. No.
I'll take a quick look.
There's, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 chick fights with Betch Korea in one of them. Oh, my God.
Bear Juice fighting. Wait, we got Betch Korea fighting.
Yeah.
That has taken on Tyson Nam. I haven't seen Tyson Nam fight, I feel, in forever.
Nobody has.
Tyson Nam is back?
Yeah.
Holy man, shit.
Beating old baby Pettis up.
Wait, Tyson Nam has never fought in the UFC?
Nope.
Wow. That's kind of cool. I guess I'm looking forward to that.
Esparza and Grasso is the co-main on that. Jesus.
Forgot that he has a win over Ali B. That was like a weird fight, too. He has a win. I remember the Dantas fight when Dantas was like top of the world and he KO'd him. Yeah, those were the days. Wow.
Holy hell, that's bad.
That'll be interesting. It always is. Anyway, that does it for this week's show. We'll be back next week. We're hoping we'll come back to you and we could, you know, be positive after a Glover win. I'm hopeful. We're hopeful. We'll talk next week. Enjoy the fights.